Welcome everybody here on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Also those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and via our phone patch. We're going to open our service this morning with song number 413, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 413.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's give thanks and pray. Gracious Father, we come before you once again in this new day of grace that you have supplied unto us. The gift that you have given unto us in your Son, Christ Jesus, is that which brings us to a place where we can give thanks, where we can praise the name that has been above every other name, the one who has procured for us eternal life. We thank you, Father, that you have brought to us that gift, that you have brought to us that knowledge that we have the need of a Savior. And we thank you, Father, that you are the giver of faith, that you have brought to us the faith to believe and to trust in that promise that you have made of old, that you would crush the head of the serpent that was manifested in your Son, Christ Jesus, that brings to us that joy of everlasting life. We know, Father, that you have created all of humanity for eternity. And we thank you, Father, that you have called us by the gospel. And we pray, Father, that this word would continue to go forth into this world, that we know as you desire that all men would come to that place of repentance and faith, that they could find that residence in eternity with you. We thank you, Father, that you continue to supply this word as you have blessed us throughout the ages, that this word continues to go forth. And we pray even today that as we gather together as your children here in this church, that you would be with us by your Spirit, that you would bring that word into the heart of our brother Jim, that you would cause that word to be fruitful, not only there, but as it would come forth, that we could, as hearers, desire to hear that word and that it find residence within our hearts. We know, Father, that your word has been brought to a place where we can receive strength and comfort and consolation, that you can bring guidance and direction to us. Cause that love for the word, Father, to be that which directs our lives here upon this earth, the desire that we would be able to share that message of the gospel with others, that they would come to know the peace and the joy that you bring through the righteousness of your Son, through faith. We ask, Father, that you would be with so many. There are many with times of difficulty, the natural infirmities of this life, the medical problems that come. We pray, Father, that you would be with the doctors that treat each of the ones that come before you, that we each have within our own hearts and within our minds, those that are close to us. And we pray, Father, that you would hear, even if we can't even begin to name them with a natural tongue, but that you would bring, as you bring their presence known, that you would guide and direct those that take care of them. Be with those that are struggling with the difficulties and the infirmities that are of the mind and of the heart, especially, Father, that the call of the gospel would go forth, that you would find that work completed within human hearts by your Son and through the Spirit to be able to draw men to a place where they could recognize how great this love you have is towards humanity. Remember us, Father, as we continue to go forth, that this word that was brought to us would reside and remain there, that you would strengthen us. We ask that you would be now with us as we turn together in that prayer that Jesus himself has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We're going to continue with song number 466, Open Mine Eyes, number 466. Thank you. It's good to be able to sing these songs of praise and to recognize the gift that God has given to so many of the writers, and I've been appreciative over the years to be able to hear and to read these psalms that God has given us. I think it's a special blessing to be able to recognize that the songbook of the Old Testament brings to us really an entire Bible. It brings to us all of the facets that are needed for our spiritual lives. You know, the blessings that we have is to recognize God's word is that which is able to supply and to sustain us here in time. But most of all, that he carries us unto eternity. Our psalm for today is the 112th psalm that's found on page 473 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 112, and we will read all 10 verses of that. Reading in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. These psalms are an amazing testimony of the heart of those that have believed through the ages. Written over many hundreds of years, they bring us a picture of how God works within the human heart. We know how he works externally, don't we? We see that on a daily basis. We recognize that. You know, the children of Israel recognize that. That God, it was the God that they knew that created the heavens and the earth. And everything that was therein. You know, to recognize that we are created beings is a marvelous gift. Because there are many that do not recognize that. And how important is our testimony to them of God's great love for humanity. You know, the very purpose for our being is that we have been called to a different world to live in eternity. You know, and this 112th Psalm, I think, really doesn't stand alone. We have to tie it in with the 111th Psalm there. In the type of relationship as perhaps the sun is to the moon. You know, the gift that God has given is that he provides the light unto humanity through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. You know, the ending of this 111th psalm says that he sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. That really establishes, that 111th psalm establishes the purpose for this 112th psalm being written. The fact that we can recognize that how important it is for us to express our praise and our thanksgiving unto our God because of all that he has done for us. He said, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. You know, we can't delight in the commandments of the Lord if we are struggling with our own sin and our own doubt and our own fear. And the purpose of the gospel of Christ Jesus is to bring to us that allayance of our fears and our sin, the knowledge that our sin debt has been paid, that Christ Jesus has accomplished for us what we could not do for ourselves. The recognition comes, you know, in the following Psalms. The 113th Psalm begins the great Hallel that Jesus sang with his disciples there at the Last Supper. The recognition of God's great love for humanity brings to us the power of the gospel, that the promise that God has given, that he would provide unto us a righteousness that is outside of ourselves, an alien righteousness. And when we have received that, then truly we can praise God, and we can understand that his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, a generation of the upright shall be blessed. When we recognize that our uprightness is not established on our own doing and our own being, but upon Christ Jesus, that has lifted us up and set our feet upon a rock. You know, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and righteousness endureth forever. This is the righteousness that the psalmist recognized. As he, in writing, you know, perhaps 2,000, 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, I don't know when this psalm was written, but he recognized the promise of God. You know, just as the prophet Isaiah looked at the promise of God and recognized the coming of a Savior, this psalmist also recognizes where true righteousness comes. Upon the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. The light of the Word, the light of Christ Jesus, has brought an end to the darkness that dwells within the heart of those that believe. To be able to look and see what the promises that we have received in the work of the Holy Spirit that guides and leads us, what, as Jesus told us, to unto all truth. The promises of our God that brings to us the fact that we will not be moved, shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. You know, what desire do you have, dear brother and sister, upon your enemies? Is it destruction? Or is it as Jesus looked upon all of humanity, died upon that middle cross of Calvary, who taught us to pray for those that despitefully use us, to love those that seem unlovable, to come to that place of knowing the power of God's love in our own lives and receiving of that love and communicating it to a world that does not know this peace and this joy. He has dispersed and he has given to the poor. There is no greater poorness in this world than to be one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, does not know the salvation that God desires all of mankind to know. He says in the end that the wicked shall see it and be grieved, and shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The contrast between those that believe and those that do not believe is that which God himself makes himself to be the judge. Let us pray that as his children, we can go forth and continue in this world to share this message of peace that has found residence within our hearts, because we have known the forgiving power that there is in Christ Jesus, to know that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, that we can believe because of that great name given above every name, and because of the shed blood that he shed for us, that we today can rejoice and give thanks. To him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. Amen. We're thankful to welcome Brother Jim Maunu and Barb from Vancouver. We're thankful that you came up. Brother Jim is going to share the message after we sing number 190, Trust and Obey. Mercy and peace from God our Heavenly Father be multiplied to each and every one of you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll read a text from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and it's found on page 841 on the Pew Bible. Reading in Jesus' name. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God,
for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. These are your words, Father. Sanctify your word, for your word is truth. It seems that it is hard for us to understand that this Apostle Paul would write about having a difficulty in this sense, that he said he came with much fear, and he came in fear and much trembling as he brought the word to the Corinthians. But Paul had come to understand the wisdom of God in a different light. And we know that it didn't happen as a result of what he was able to accomplish in his former life, because he, as he writes in one of the epistles, and I believe it's Philippians, where he says that he starts naming all of the various credentials that he could have claimed, but he counted all of the things as rubbish, or even he uses, as the King James uses, as dung, that he may win Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was able to supersede all the things that he had come to know. Because in his life, in his former life, he saw the gospel of Jesus Christ as a threat to the church that he knew at that time. And this was a great awakening that took place in Paul when he was able to come to know that this Jesus that appeared to him on the Damascus Road was going to be able to show him a wisdom that allowed him to realize that his righteousness was not able to stand before the righteousness of God. In the text that, in the gospel text, one of the statements that Jesus made is that except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you shall not enter into God's kingdom. And so, when we consider the righteousness of those people who were very strict in their lives, in fact, they were so strict that they were able to find fault, as they did, and as we're able to read through the various gospel writings, they're able to find fault with our Lord and Savior when he was in his earthly ministry. They found fault with the fact that he healed people on the wrong day. And they found fault with the fact that he dwelt with people that they said were sinners. They were not able to comprehend that God's Son has come to be the sinner's friend, that he has come here to this earth. He came here to this earth so that we would be able, in our fallen nature, to be able to know that here is one who is righteous. Here is one who is pure. Here is one that has not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. And so that when John writes in his gospel, he says, Moses gave us the law but Jesus Christ has given us grace and truth. And when we consider the gospel that Paul ministered, it was a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of peace. He understood that these Corinthian people had various difficulties as a church. He addresses some of the issues as we are able to read further on in some of the writings that he wrote to Corinthians. One of the things that they had started to become embroiled in the various spiritual gifts as a way of almost elevating themselves above one another. But we know that in Paul's writings and in Paul's ministry of the gospel, and as I remember years ago, our late brother Alvin, that used to minister, he would make this statement. He said, "Apostle Paul remained at the level of grace that the Lord had found him." And so when he ministered the word, he didn't minister it as he was looking down at people, but he saw them as on the same plane as he was. For when he writes, as he did to Timothy, he makes known to Timothy that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and then he adds, "of whom I am chief." And so he recognized this, that he who persecuted the church of God was not worthy. He was not worthy to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he was thankful that he was counted worthy to speak about the things of the one who became his righteousness, the one who was able to impute righteousness unto him. And that word is a word that the enemy that tries to disarm the gospel of Jesus Christ and tries to minimize its power, he does not like that phrase, that Jesus Christ has been able to impute his righteousness unto us, because the enemy is not able to destroy this word. When Paul writes to the Roman congregation, he tells them that the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, it is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, it is able to blow apart all of the accusations of the enemy. He's able to disarm the enemy with God's word. And we are thankful that we have a gospel that Paul writes about when he says that that it's a gospel that testifies to us of the crucified Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says that even though his words were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he makes this statement that it is in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so the Spirit of God is a powerful substance that we have as his people and as his church. It is the Spirit of grace. It is a Spirit that Jesus said it will convict the world of sin, because he says, "I go to my Father." It will convict the world of righteousness, and an end of judgment, because Jesus Christ is righteous. And the scribes and the Pharisees, who considered themselves to be head and shoulders above the rest, and even Jesus Christ, were not able to experience the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But Paul, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he was able to receive the righteousness that is imputed to him from his Lord and his Savior. He had come to know that, as he writes, and as we're able to read, even in as he writes to the Ephesian people, he says that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And so there have been those that would say that only a certain amount of people have been predestined to salvation. But the gospel is for all. For all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, we are told in Romans, is death. But it doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God is salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't leave us dangling with the curse of sin upon us, but by faith we are released from the bondage of sin, and we are able now to enjoy what Paul has written here, that we are holy, we are without blame before him in love. The enemy does not want us to believe the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. He tries to destroy those words. And as Paul even wrote to the Corinthian people, in the 11th, in the 11th chapter, he says that Satan himself is transformed unto an angel of light. And he says that therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. But he says, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For if ye suffer a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And so there were those that were trying to belittle Paul's ministry. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. And he names the difficulty that he went through. In prisons more frequent, in deaths of the Jews, he says, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, he said, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and I suffered shipwrecked. Night and day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in the perils in water, perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Beside these things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And so he mentions how he, when he became a believer, the people that he had associated with, they tried to take his life, but he was let down by a basket off the city walls of Damascus, because it didn't take them long to understand that this Paul, who has become a follower of Jesus Christ, his cohorts began at once to see how they could destroy him. We see how the Lord himself was taken by the people to the brow of the hill when he began his first sermon, and he began to tell the people that there were many widows, he said, in the time of Elijah in Israel, but he mentions that Elijah only went to the widow of Sarepta. And then he mentions also that there were many lepers in Israel, but Elisha was able to heal the Naaman, a leper from Syria, who had come to him. And when the people heard that, they became enraged with our Lord, because the prejudice that was in them caused them to see the Lord as their enemy. They wanted him to partake of the same spirit that they had, a spirit that would not receive those sinners outside of their own gathering, as we would say, but people that were outside of Israel, even as the disciples were not able to understand why Jesus would speak even to a Samaritan woman that was by Jacob's well, because they considered the Samaritan people unworthy of this great salvation that God has brought to us. So we as the Gentile people, we can be thankful that someone in our background or in our ancestry, where they were able to preach this gospel of grace, this gospel of forgiveness unto our ancestors. For we are beneficiaries, many of us, because of them who received the gospel that was able to free them from their past. So this is part of the hidden wisdom that Paul was able to receive he calls it in a demonstration of spirit and of power. It is able to reveal, first of all, to us our need as people, as sinners, and then it is able to restore unto us the salvation of Jesus Christ. And then he says, howbeit we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So he speaks here even that which God had planned before the world. And this is the greatness of our Lord and of our God, of the love that he has had, knowing full well that these people that he had created there in the garden, they were not going to be able to keep the first covenant that he made with them. And so that he made a new covenant. And we read of that covenant that God made with man in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. He tells us, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For the finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. This is the covenant that is written here, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall teach, they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And then he says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So we are the recipients of the new covenant. He has been able to forgive our iniquity, and he remembers it no more. David writes about this in the 32nd Psalm. In the 51st Psalm, he prays to the Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. He knew what he had done. He knew that he was worthy. He was not worthy to live, but the prophet who came to speak to him, Nathan, said, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. Because David's heart was a heart after God. God looked at David, and when he was able to write the 32nd Psalm, he said, blessed is the man whose sin is covered and whose transgressions are forgiven. He was able to receive this grace and assurance from his Lord and his Savior, the same that the Apostle Paul was able to receive there on the Damascus Road, the same grace that Peter was able to receive when he had denied his Lord, and the Lord was able to speak with Peter when he was there at the last, in the last part of the book of John. And he asks him this question three different times. Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, three different times. His concern was that he would feed the people that Peter would preach to. And when those disciples were in behind the closed doors after the resurrection, we find our gracious Lord appearing to them behind those doors. And the first thing he did was he breathed upon them and he said, peace be unto you. There were those disciples that knew that they were not able to defend their Lord on the night that he was betrayed, on the night that he stood before Pilate and gave a good confession. They were not able to stand and defend him. They knew that he was going to suffer and die on a cross, and they distanced themselves from him from in that place because they were not able to defend him, even though we know Peter tried with his sword, but it only accomplished one thing. It cut off the ear of one of the people coming to arrest Jesus. And we see one of the miracles of our Lord when he reached out his hand and touched that ear, that it would be healed. And this is what he has been able to do in his mercy and his grace. He's been able to reach out and he's been able to touch our ears as well, so that we are able to hear that our sins are forgiven in the name and in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he lives. He died, and he was 3 days in the earth, but he was raised again, and he was appeared, as the scripture tells us, to about 500 brethren while he was alive here on this earth. And then he was taken up into heaven in a cloud as the disciples saw him go. And we know that those are the things that have taken place in the past. But there is one thing that will take place and that we all look forward to as his children, who confess that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. We look for his return. Even as John writes in the last prayer of Revelation, when he said, even so come, Lord Jesus. God's peace be with you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll continue with song number 336. My hope is built on nothing less, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper.
Thank you.
Let us pray with and for them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed, that we should at all times and all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's now confess our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Teach thee that thou of thy mercy would strengthen us through this communion in faith towards thee and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's sing song number 173 as our thanks after communion. 173.
Schedule this week, there'll be a board meeting Tuesday, 7 p.m. on Zoom. Wednesday, Bible study at 7 p.m. will be at Daryl and Betty's home. And Friday, ladies' Bible study, 10 a.m. at Stan and Shirley's home. Next Sunday, we'll have Bible study at 10:15 and morning worship at 11. We're going to close with 6:05, I believe it, 6:05, and during this song, an offering will be taken.